give you.
Well, I want to be clear on this because that was blowing out of proportion. Just I want to make sure that everybody understands that I'm clear on this one. Michelle and I had a meeting in the morning, and we're talking like we talk every day. And I mentioned I was going to meet some players and to join me. And Michelle says, "You know what, Mark? Today's a day off for the team, for the coaches. You know, maybe you just go alone." So Michelle was aware of the situation, and it was not about Michel Therrien, my conversation. It was very, I'm not going to go into detail what we talked about, but it was not about Michel. And if I want to do a meeting, and I think I'm a little more common sense, I'm not going to sit in the lobby in a hotel. So it was a meeting about our team, and Michel was well aware, and it was blown out of proportion. So just want to be on the record on that one.
And there you have Montreal Canadiens general manager Marc Bergevin at his presser yesterday saying that the meeting with his leaders was maybe a little blown out of proportion. Was it? We ask RDS hockey analyst Norma Flynn, a regular on the Montreal Forum for the longest time. And it looks like Norma is going to return, actually, to the Montreal Forum, if all goes well, within the next week. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony.
How are you?
Very good, and you?
Very, very well. Marc Bergevin says, oh, that meeting was blown out of proportion. Norma, was it?
Does he have to tell us the truth?
He doesn't have to. He can tell us some of the truth, but he doesn't have to tell us the entire truth, and he can withhold stuff. You think he did?
Well, I believe that being a coach for so long, when you have a problem with a goaltender that doesn't stop the puck, usually the guy who's going to solve the problem is not the GM or the head coach. It's the coaching staff. It's the goalie coach, pardon me. The goalie coach was never, I was never told that what the problem was with Price. We all knew that he wasn't stopping the puck. We knew that things weren't going well for him. We never heard about Stefan Waite for a long time. And who was supposed to solve that problem if it isn't Waite? When he wakes up in the morning, he's got two guys to take care of, Montoya and Price. And some other times, yeah, the guys in the AHL, Pucalli and Lindgren for sure. But, I mean, that's the first time I've seen a problem with a goalie trying to be solved by the GM. And you're talking about meetings. I've coached long enough that if I couldn't solve the problem myself, then it went to the GM. And if Michel Therrien didn't want to be there, it's probably because he's already had those meetings with the guys. And he said, you know what? What they've told me is there's no problem. So you want to meet them. I have no issue. I have no problem. But if I might be in the way if I stand there. So why don't you go alone? And if I'm the problem, then they'll be able to tell you. Because if I'm sitting right next to you, they won't be able to do it. So why don't you go alone? And we'll have probably different answers. That's probably the way it went. Because usually when the GM meets players, it's not because it's going well. Things are happening. And if he needs to get involved, it's because the coach cannot solve the problem at the base. So I understand what he's trying to do, and he's trying to protect his team. He's trying to protect the players that he still has and he still goes on with. He's also trying to protect Michel Therrien from getting attacked by the media with questions. So he's trying to soften everything with his meetings right now. Like I said, I don't have to believe him because I've been involved in situations like that, and of course you're trying to hide the truth, and he's not going to go out there and tell the truth, because if he would, this would be a lot worse than what we've went through the last couple of days, because he has to protect everybody, and that's what he did.
Good morning, Mark. I too have several questions.
I'm not surprised.
December 16th, you're down 4-0 to San Jose. Carey Price gets pulled after 27 minutes. The cameras show he's staring what appears to be at Michel. Since then, the best goalie in the world has 8 wins, 14 losses, 3.11 goals against average, 8.95 save percentage. What did you think of the stare then? And a couple of months later, do you think it had anything to do with Carey's performance, which isn't only based on poor play? He's let in some really bad goals, some goals where it looks like he's not even there. What's your read on the entire situation? Is it possible that December 16th, Michel lost his star player?
Well, I don't think so. That's not what I believe. The only one that could answer that question is Carey, first of all. After that day, we went to Washington. Mike and Stefan Waite had a conversation with Carey. He bounced back the next night at an outstanding performance. And yes, since then, he had some ups and downs, just like the rest of our team. But I believe standing here today, Carey is the best goalie in the world, and his game will be on track consistently before you know it. So do I have full confidence in Carey Price? No doubt in my mind.
Norma, I'll ask you, December 16th, did Michel Therrien lose his star player?
There was an issue. There was a problem. And the belief that he has in the next coming weeks or the next, I said the same thing. The best player from now on this team will be Carey Price. Why? Because what was in the way is not in the way anymore. And that's the reason he has faith. And he cannot choose. He chose Weber instead of Subban, right, in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't go well with the coach. We all know that. Again, we're not going to go through everything because we'll never know the truth. But from what we hear, it wasn't a marriage between Therrien and Subban. So he got rid of Subban. He can't get rid of Price. He knows that. Now the other guy has to go. So that's the only issue that he had right now, was solving that. He knows and he has faith in his goalie. He's not going to change that goalie. He's the number one guy on that team. And the coach lost him. And now he had to make a decision. And that decision is Therrien or Price. That's mm-hmm. obvious. Now we're trying to hide the truth. And what I can't believe today in this world, a guy is supposed to be the number one player on your team. He's supposed to be a man. Why doesn't it happen sometimes where a man stands up and says the truth and says, well, you know what? I'm Carey Price. It didn't go well with my coach. I don't dislike him. But we can't go on anymore like this. I'm not going to go through this. I'm going to be man enough to stand in front of you and say, there was a problem, and you know, right now we can't go on, the both of us, on the same way. We can't be on the same team. So that's the way it went. And I'm man enough, and now I'm going to go behind the post again and between the posts and make the job. And if I'm responsible the next time, well, I'll go. You don't see that. And these guys are supposed to be, you know, the top players and the top, you have be very mature and be the top of the... I would believe that a guy would, you know, in the old days, you would have seen that. You know, the older guys would say, no, I don't agree with the coach, and I'll live through it. And I don't think he's right, and I'll live through it. Now I'm the captain on this team, and I'll make decisions. We don't see that. Everything's hidden, and that's for a reason. And I understand what Bergevin is going through. He has to make that choice. He can't go on with Therrien. It's not going to happen. And now he's decided that it's not going to happen with Therrien. Well, my question to him would have been, when you knew, the day that you knew that he wasn't going to be the coach for the rest of the year, because obviously at the beginning of the year he said, and it went through a couple of months, mm-hmm. where he thought he was the guy. Now, when he saw that he wasn't the guy anymore, why didn't he just fire him and then go for a coach? No, that's not what he was. And that's not what he did. He ensured that he had another guy. And when Julien became available, wow, now there's my chance. I got a guy. That's, you understand?
A lot of people do that, Norma.
Beg your pardon?
A lot of people do that.
I know. And that's why it's rotten.
A lot of people don't leave their girlfriend until they have someone else lined up.
Well, that's, you know? Exactly. You're saying that it's a very good comparison. And that's what I don't like, and I've been through it, and I know. So they made sure they had somebody else. They had other guys available. I mean, they could have ended the season with Kirk Muller. They get a couple of guys back there. Kim Angelo, when he's been a coach all his life, he got a couple of guys that could have, you know, helped Kirk Muller and finish the season. Go to bat. I mean, when the guy is not going to be your man, your coach for the rest of the year,
okay.
The first thing you got to do is to tell him.
So let me ask you. Was it a good decision to fire Michel Therrien based on what you saw?
Of course. I'm not saying that it wasn't a good decision. It's the mm-hmm. way it was done.
Okay.
He didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice. He was put in between the two guys and had to make a choice. And the choice was obvious.
Do you like the hiring?
Yes, the guy's a good coach. I'm not saying I don't like it. It's just the way that it was done. I mean, we're being told stuff that we should, you know, believe. I mean, of course, he's not going to tell us everything that's going on, like I said. But, I mean, it wasn't going to be Therrien for the rest of the year. So I fired him. I friends or no friends, this is a business. I got to win. And the guy it doesn't happen. And he's not getting along with the top players on the team, especially mm-hmm. with my goalie. Well, I have to make a move. I'm sorry. Goodbye. That's the way it is. That's how cruel it is. But when you get in that position, when you're a coach, you know that's going to happen at someday. And now the other guy that comes in, which is not very different, because I heard now he's stiff, firm, and fair.
Mm-hmm.
Which of the three of those qualities that Tannehill lost? Which of them? Which one of the three that you just said? I hired this guy because he's stiff, firm, and fair.
Well, I don't know which ones he lost, but I think a lot of it has to do with when Michel Therrien was hired. If you listen to the press conference when he was hired in June of 2012, he said that he was going to bring to the team structure, discipline, and a work ethic. And I think he lost those three, especially in the last couple of weeks. The three things he promised, the team didn't show up in Detroit. The team didn't show up in New York against the Islanders. The team didn't show up against Philadelphia. The team didn't show up against Colorado. And the team didn't show up in Boston. The team didn't show up, and the work ethic wasn't there. And if you saw some of the goals they gave up with absolutely no idea whether guys were coming or going and what to do in the defensive zone, there was no structure whatsoever either. So I think he made the move because everything that Michel Therrien promised back in June 2012 was not there. The structure wasn't there. The discipline wasn't there. The work ethic wasn't there. By the way, I wanted to mention, I spoke with Michel last night. I gave him a call last night wanted to see how he was doing. We spoke about a few things, which most of which I'll keep private. It was an off-the-record conversation. But the only thing I can say is that he wasn't shocked that he was let go.
He knew it was coming.
He said that he thought that they were all going into the break. Everyone was going to be able to rest. And then, you know what? He was going to get back a fresh lineup. And then he was, you know, let's see what was going to happen. But that's where I'm going now. He told me that he wasn't shocked, but he was surprised. He was obviously disappointed. That I can share. Did you think he knew it was coming?
Yeah. And obviously, he was disappointed. The opposite would have been very surprising. I mean, last season, at the end of the season, I told you that we had a conversation. I said, if there's an opening where you can fire him, it's right there. Because when things are going bad, all you said about intensity, structure, that doesn't mean you can have a bad team and have a structure. You can have a bad team and work very hard every night. You can have bad players and be very disciplined and work in a structure and be close to winning games but losing them all. But you can all have that without good players. That didn't happen last year. They lost all games. They had no structure. They had no intensity. Nothing was happening. He had the opening right there to find another coach. Now, he went with him at the beginning of the year, and we knew the ice was thin. We knew at the beginning of the year. But with that great start again, well, everything fades away, and we go on, and he's fine. He's one of the top coaches, and I listened to you and other guys, and I remember after 25 games, wow, he was close to Babcock. And everybody was saying the same thing. I'm not putting the blame on anybody. Everybody was saying the same thing. What a great decision. We keep him. Now everything of that is gone. And I knew he felt it was coming with his last game when he said, we played really well. I like the intensity. He was praising his players, and they were losing games. When you're in control, Tony, and you're losing a game, you're not happy no matter what. And you don't want to put the blame on anybody, but you're not happy.
It looked like he was trying to be overprotective down the stretch. Well, don't have these guys on my side. Let me try and get them, reel them back in here.
Yeah. Let me take some heat. Let me take some heat here because I know that I'm in jeopardy. I know my job is in jeopardy. I'm not stupid. I've been coaching. I coach long enough, and I know when the heat's on and when the heat's not on. And you can ask Babcock right now. He can say whatever he wants about the players. He can say whatever he wants after a game. He's in control. Therrien was not in control anymore. Now the language is different. The body language is different. What comes out of his mouth is different. He's not the same coach. And when you're not the same coach, you might as well go. Why? Because you're not coaching the team anymore. You're another person because you're not the guy that you should be. Because when you hire, if Claude Julien comes in tomorrow night, he doesn't owe anything to any of the players, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody comes from a fresh start. That's what's going to happen. And that's why you're going to have a bounce back. That's why you have players that are going to try to show up and try to be, you know, in the goodwill of the coach and trying to be not the friend of the coach, but they're going to try to be find a new position or stabilize a new position, make sure that they have their chair and they keep it.
You think part of it had to do with last year Mark Bergevin saying it's on me because he knew he had to go out and get the coach some players, and some of the moves he made didn't work out. And then in the offseason, before the season was over, he acquired Dano, then he acquired Shea Weber, he acquired Andrew Shaw, he signed Montoya, he signed Radulov, he brought in Kirk Muller as associate coach. Do you think it was his way of saying a year ago it was on him, but year later he did his part and now it was on the coach?
Yep. No, of course. Last year the coach had, and that's probably why you kept him. Well, I can't fire him. Our best goalie was hurt. He didn't have the team. We didn't have enough maturity. We didn't have this. We didn't have that. He's right. I'll give him another shot, but I'll get those players. Now it's up to you. Now you're exposed. Now you have to win. And he did. At the beginning of the year, he won. And with the new guys playing on the team, everybody was happy. And the goalie was there. Now the goalie's there. And the same situation happens at about the same time of the year. Now what do you do? You can't stop the slide. He was sliding, and he couldn't stop it. Now, what do you do as a GM? Well, I'm not going to trade Patrick. Yeah, I'm not going to trade Carey Price here to make him happy. I'm not going to trade it, to try to change things. Yes, he needs to tweak with his lineup a little bit, but there's no major trade to be done right now. And, of course, you don't want to involve Price into that. So the decision was clear, and we knew at the beginning of the year that he was on thin ice, like I said. It just took 50 games instead of 20. That's the only difference. But you knew he was, his time was going to come up at some point. And if this year he had went all the way and he goes to the dance at the end of the year, then it's a different situation. Then he gets an old new coating of protection and he's there for another 3-4 years. But that didn't happen. So you get another guy who has another chance for another 5 years.
So they make the playoffs with Julien?
Of course they do. They're in a good position. I don't think this guy's a bad coach. He knows what he's doing. I just can't wait to see what's going to happen with a few players. The first is Galchenyuk. I can't wait to see what he's going to do with this kid, in the defensive zone, and how he's going to bring this guy to play the role that he's supposed to play on that team. And I'm also anxious to see what's going to happen with Beaulieu, and I'm also anxious to see what's going to happen with Desharnais, where all these guys fit in his system. It's not going to be very different because, guys talk about systems and all that. Listen, it's not that very different between the 30th team and the first team in this league. It's just the players in it make it a lot better or worse. But the way to play, it's not that different. When Claude Julien comes and does the same, the first practice, when he's going to use the hockey terms and all that, they're all going to understand. The only little things that he's going to tweak with are probably the power play and the PK, and maybe a little, some ways to play in the defensive zone coverage. But that's not tough for these guys to understand quickly, and they're going to adapt very well. The only thing is that right now there's a new voice, and that new voice is going to say new things, and he's going to communicate differently than the other guy, and that's a fresh start for a lot of players. That's the reason that there's going to be a jump. And you can believe that Carey Price right now is going to be the best player on that team from the first game, which will be against Winnipeg on Saturday.
Appreciate taking the time. Merci beaucoup. C'est Normand Flynn, RDS. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers, Normand. All right, it's 8:24 with some Mise au Jeu picks around the corner.